Welcome to the Zombies Government and You podcast, where we're throwing grenades of liberty into statist foxholes and smiting social justice warriors with logic and reason. I'm Dave, and I'm here with my good friend and fellow podcaster, Andrew.
That was a mouthful. Hi, how's it going, guys? I'm Andrew.
And yeah, we're good, man. We're gonna kick it off here and talk about some really fun stuff. Drew here actually got me started on my podcasting endeavor here, more or less.
I did. I'm to blame. I'm sorry, guys.
So if you're looking anywhere to send death threats or hate mail, send them to me, but also, to Drew.
Be sure to CC me.
Yeah. But Drew has a podcast, and he pretty much, it's a little bit different focus, but it's really cool. He talks about the 90s a lot.
Yeah. I think we just entered our third year. We're calling our third season, but it's called Too Legit with Drew and Nick. 90s oriented podcast. Not all the shows are always about 90s. Sometimes we just talk about whatever we want, because why not? It's our show.
Make your own rules.
We try to, if we go off the topic of the 90s, then we'll at least, then we just say it's, our shows are from the opinions of 90s kids, which is, I guess,
it's a good cover.
It might be a stretch to relate it back, but we get away with it. But yeah, look us up if you guys like the 90s.
Absolutely. A lot of fun. Not safe for work, but a lot of fun.
No, definitely not, man. No kids allowed on that one.
So yeah, dude, that was one of the most fun things I ever did was recently being on your podcast, and I've had the opportunity to be on it twice, man, and I've never regretted it. It was cool for me because I always loved consuming media, talk or whatnot. I used to go down to the record store in Tempe, and I would buy spoken word albums from Chomsky or Zinn or, Henry Rollins, Jello Biafra, whoever, and listen to talk radio, started moving into that Rush Limbaugh and you live and learn,
dark
man.
Days.
I've grown so much since then. And, Savage and all those guys. And then when podcasting just started taking off, I loved it, man, so...
Podcasting is a fun medium. It's especially fun now because of how accessible it is. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm not a smart person. And I was able to figure out how to, get the media server going and get the website going and recording. And the recording software is accessible for everyone, which is great. So if you have an opinion, which sometimes it sucks because some people just shouldn't have a show. They...
Not us.
No. The Zombie Government and You podcast is a very good one to have around. There's some people that are just make stupid shows for the sake of idiot content, and it drives me nuts, which I'm pretty sure Too Legit borders on that sometimes also. But
it's good clean. It's good not clean fun.
Yeah, it's like Bud Light. You just kind of, you drink it and you're slumming it, but it's okay sometimes.
I'll bump you up to Heineken, man, the Budweiser of Europe.
Oh God, I hate Heineken's like the worst beer.
Take Bud Light over Heineken?
Absolutely. Heineken.
All right. Well, your Stella. Let's go say your Stella Artois. Okay.
Oof, that's pretty fancy. I'll take it. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
All right, man. Which is still kind of like Budweiser, just a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
All right, man. But it's got that fancy Belgian name, also.
Yeah, they have those fancy commercials with the gold rimmed glasses.
Yes, the chalice.
The chalice. Yes. Excuse me.
A very specific way of pouring and shaving the foam off.
Yeah, which is a bunch of crap. There's only one beer that takes a specific way to pour it, and it's Guinness.
Fair enough.
But, like you were saying, podcasting is a fun medium that a lot of people can get into, and I feel like there's a podcast for everyone out there.
That's what I love about it, man. It's the diffusement of opinion of, you don't have to just sit there and be a recipient of media. You don't want to own the media. You're becoming the media. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't have to just sit there and shovel down what they're feeding you. You get out there, make, give your own spin, alternative voices or just have a good time doing it. So
yeah, I feel like it can only get better. You know, you listen to a lot of podcasts, and if you think some of them are awful, you're like, I can do it better. Well, then do it.
Then do it.
And then if you hear something that someone's doing well or doing right, then you take it, you kind of add it to your mix. It's fun. Just add it to your arsenal. And like there's a number of podcasts I listen to, and I love the way they conduct interviews. I'm a big fan of the Nerdist podcast, the Mark Maron podcast. On occasion, I'll listen to the Metal Injection podcast. Joe Rogan is actually a great speaker.
He is, dude. Very intelligent guy. Very funny, too.
Yeah. So you just kind of take all the things you like and don't like and include it and not include it in your show. And if you get listeners, then that's just a testament that you're doing something right. And I really hope to get a listener someday.
Well, you're gonna. Drew's being very modest, man. He actually is he's an intelligent guy, got a great podcast, and very funny, man. I'm glad to call you friend. I'm glad to have you on here, man.
Appreciate it, man.
I feel like it's coming full circle.
Yeah, you say intelligent, and if people listen to my show, they're going to be disappointed, so that's kind of on you. But
I'm not overselling you too much.
Hey, you know, if it directs traffic my way, even better. No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
So what made you want to start a podcast anyway? Because not a lot of people do that, or, you know, they might think, oh, that'd be cool to have a podcast, but to actually go through it, to buy all the equipment, to learn everything that you have to do, you know, in terms of media hosting, sound tech, you know, all that. What was the impetus, man? What really made you want to do it?
The idea, I never thought about the technical aspect of what materials or what things we would need to buy for it or do. It was always anytime that our friends got around, it was always the same group of people. And it's funny because the podcast still isn't what we want it to be, oddly enough. It was me, my friend Nick, and then our friends Ender, John, Nate, and Shane. Anytime you get the bunch of us together and we just sit around, have beers on the back patio, the conversation is always hilarious. We were always able to riff off each other really well, and it was just funny conversation. We always thought it'd be funny if we recorded our conversation. John's hard as hell to get a hold of. Shane lives in a different state, and Nate he's impossible to get a hold of, even though he lives in the state. So it ended up just being Nick and I, but we were trying to figure a topic of what would what's a broad enough topic that we can all talk about. And after a number of ideas, we just kind of decided on making a 90s podcast. There's no shortage of things to talk about in the 90s. You can go as funny or as serious as you want.
Absolutely.
Some of the episodes we had more fun talking about was when we actually talked about the OJ trial.
Fit, you must have quit.
A lot of racist jokes in that one. But it's kind of funny, like, looking back at things now, because that happened in, I think, 94. I was 10 at the time. And so, was it 94? I think it was.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But you go back and you kind of do, you know, the Wikipedia research on it, as accurate or inaccurate as that may be, but you learn a lot of things about it. We did the East Coast, West Coast rap battle. That was a fun one. More racism on that one. But
I'm sensing a theme.
It's racism all in the sake of fun. There's such a thing as fun racism, isn't there? Well,
I mean, there's no sacred cows, as long, you know, I think. I'm totally against the PC warrior microaggression crowd, you know. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This podcast, and definitely your podcast, has to have a trigger warning, you know. It's going to trigger some unpleasantness listening to this, because we're not going to tiptoe around subjects that are unpleasant for the sake of feelings. You know what I mean?
No, society's on pins and needles waiting to lash out at the slightest bit of offensive.
It's cultural Marxism. It's a way of controlling behavior and thought. But, you know, but it's fun, man. I mean, it's just funny how it's taken root so tremendously, you know, that you can't say anything in a college setting. You know, they have to put putting trigger warnings in books. Insane. You know, reading this book may trigger, you know, whatever unpleasant emotions, you know. I mean, unbelievable. The teacup generation, it's all coming to bear.
They're almost training you that, get ready, you're going to be offended. And it's like if you don't throw that disclaimer out in the beginning, then let the person decide for themselves whether or not what they're reading is offensive. Someone's offensive threshold is going to be a little higher than others.
No. That's where you're wrong. You can't have people going around deciding things for themselves. That's completely...
How dare I?
That's insane.
I'm sorry.
We can't let people decide that. You can't let people make up their own minds about things. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about, is stopping that. No, I'm being...
let's stop that free thought, guys.
Yeah, being completely facetious, obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's just that kind of strangulation of any kind of critical or thought or objective reasoning or, yeah, this is offensive, you know, but I'm not going to insulate myself from it, you know. I'm going to realize that it is and learn from it, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I feel when I listen to your podcast. Sometimes I'm like... Okay.
Now
I know what not. No, I'm just kidding.
We're probably saying a lot of things that you shouldn't say, but you know, big media, you know, they have their sponsors, they have all the red tape, they have things that they can't say or the topics they can't touch on. So it's kind of nice where podcasting, I don't have a boss. I can say whatever I want. I can make the most offensive show I want. And you know, maybe it might provoke some thoughts, you know, how dare we?
Indeed.
So, I mean, and hopefully, you know, makes other people at least want to make another podcast or speak out about other things or, no, screw it, man. Freedom of speech. Say whatever the hell you want.
So who are we going to offend today?
Oh, man. Well.
That's why we're here, right?
We already talked about, I already mentioned racism twice. So,
should we add the qualifier that you're, you are Mexican? So
yeah,
this is a biracial or bilingual podcast right now, which I'm digging, man. You know, I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, see, glad I'll see you.
See, whatever you just said.
Yeah, happy to
be. I took like 3 years of Spanish in high school, and it's mostly forgotten.
Well, speaking of racism, earlier we were talking about that kid Ahmed that made the clock for his
the clock bomber deep in the heart of Texas, right?
I'm trying to figure how much of it was based on his race, or how much of it was just a suspicious device was brought to school. Like maybe the teacher could have freaked out if it was any other. You don't think so?
No,
any other race?
No, because there was. I don't have the article in front of me, but there was an article where there was at least 7 other kids who brought a similar device to school who didn't get handcuffed, perped, walked, and racially profiled, and you know what I mean?
But did any of them go off in class?
Ooh, God forbid, right?
Maybe go back to... do you think there's anyone listening that isn't aware of this story? I feel like everyone has got to know about it.
Yeah, so there was a kid in Texas... his name escapes me. Ahmed Muhammad, I believe.
I'm looking for it.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, Ahmed Muhammad.
Great. I mean, he's a ninth grader, brings for a science project. He brought a digital alarm clock that he constructed himself, which is...
How awesome is that?
Pretty friggin' cool.
I couldn't do that now.
A ninth grader did that. I'm middle-aged, and I can't even turn on an alarm clock half the time. You know, and he actually, it was a school project that he had brought to school for his, I think it was his engineering class or and it it had the temerity or the bad fortune to go off in English class.
The fact that he made an alarm on the clock, that's an added feature.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Absolutely. So naturally the English teacher who you know, he pulled it out of the backpack and turned it off. I almost said disarmed it. see how the narrative...
He should have been a hero.
See how the narrative creeps? You know, he disarmed the alarm clock. The alarm clock. He turned his alarm clock off, but the teacher had noticed it and, you know, being the good little statist puppet that he or she was, said, you know, see something, say something. This guy's, his name's Muhammad, and he has a, you know... digital device going off in class. It must be a bomb.
Yeah, the kid wearing the NASA shirt must hate America.
Yeah, right. No, because, I mean, Obama did say that NASA's primary mission now was Muslim outreach. So, I mean, maybe that contributed to the confusion. I don't know. But, no, I mean, the kid is obviously very intelligent. He's obviously science or engineer mechanically inclined.
Yeah.
And yeah, he, you know, he brought a school project to school. And I don't know if this math teacher was just hopped up on too much American Sniper movies, you know, being from Texas or what, but you know, and it's not entirely the teacher's fault. I mean, I think it's the whole culture of zero tolerance that, sure. you know, kids that are, well, she chewed her, there was a kid that chewed her Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and got suspended or, you know, I mean, the zero tolerance stuff, you know.
Everyone's
that's
so.
That's the real problem here. And it is a little, I think there's probably a bit of racial aspect to it or racial profiling. But I think the real issue there is this whole, you know, zero tolerance, you know, if you even, you know, if you make a paper that looks like a gun or, you know what I mean? If you draw, one kid drew a ninja holding a gun and I think he was expelled. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
That's the real issue here, I think. You know what I mean?
I would have, well, which was the Indiana Jones movie that had the Nazis in it?
I think they all did except Temple of Doom.
There's
the
a point.
First one,
there's a point
the
to this.
Last Crusade, and even that piece of garbage, Crystal Skull, had I believe they had Nazis.
I didn't even
in
see
it.
That one. They had Nazis in that Crystal Skull one? God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Digging deep, guys. So I remember way back when I used to, in elementary school, I used to draw like these pictures of like these space age battles or something. And the only two flags I knew how to draw as messed up as it was the American flag and the Nazi flag. I blame Indiana Jones. However, I bet you if a teacher today like walk over my shoulder and see me drawing a bunch of Nazi symbols on flags in a space battle,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to the office. I'm probably getting expelled or suspended.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
everyone's so quick to just freak out about that. And it's ridiculous. The there was that cooler on the 202 that everyone assumed was a bomb.
Yeah,
that's like
out here
guys.
In the valley. There was a it feeds into that paranoia that see something, say yeah. something,
zero
right?
to panic.
So on one of the freeways here in the valley, yesterday in Phoenix, there was a cooler that was on the side of the road. I mean, it's on a freeway, dude. You know how much debris and junk you see there on any given day. Well, there was a cooler that I don't know how somebody noticed it. Maybe traffic was slow. It had some wires coming out of it. So, of course, and there's a little bit of perhaps justified concern because of that the I-10 shooter too. Which
yeah, that guy's not helping anything.
So there, you know, the tensions are pretty high as it were. Maybe if that wasn't a factor, the cooler would have been overlooked more. But yeah, it turned out to be, of course, nothing. In fact, I saw some comments on a thread where, a lot of construction workers will use a cooler like that to test temperatures or consistency of cement. So it's a way, you know, because it's very hot out here. So they'll put their samples in that cooler to test the consistency or the temperature, and the wires go to a thermometer. You know what I mean? So that puts us in. So I mean, there was a rational or it probably just either it fell off the truck or you know they had to pull over and took it out for whatever reason, and set it there and forgot it. But it somehow managed to you know shut down a freeway in both directions for hours in one of the busiest times. And yeah,
I saw.
I don't know if a ninth grade Muslim was involved at all, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, if a cooler fell off the back of a truck, it's safe to assume it was probably off the truck of a Mexican. But you can.
Well, if there's Bud Light in it, probably.
Yeah. Bud Light. But I mean, yeah. I mean, how often are you driving by a construction truck and you're just looking at stuff in the back of the truck? You're like, yeah, that's gonna fall off.
Oh yeah, you know.
It's
you're backing up an extra 20 feet or switching lanes because you don't want to be that guy where the ladder goes through your windshield or.
Sure.
You know, and it could be any you know any vehicle, obviously. But
yeah, you mentioned it, and I'm like, really? People freaked out about that? Then I saw the picture of the bomb defusing robot opening the. I'm like, really? You went to that extent?
Hey, you know, you can never be too safe, man. Never again.
That's it just makes me sick that everyone's so quick to panic on these things. There's a time and a place for it, but dude, pick your spots. Ahmed, a freshman?
Yeah, ninth grade, I think.
That's, I don't know, man. That's ridiculous. That's just really irritating.
Well, God bless Texas. They're keeping...
And of course it happened in Texas.
Keeping students safe from, you know, digital alarm clocks. And I mean, that guy's going to grow up to be a rocket... I mean, I don't know, you know, but...
Probably.
He could grow up to be a rocket scientist or whatever he wants to be.
Kid's going to be the biggest pimp around the school. The president tweeted at him.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, but that's opportunism at its worst, too.
It is. Well, yeah, he's kind of. Yeah, I mean, the president's like, you know, I'm gonna get a little bit of this sunshine here, Ahmed. I'm gonna be the hero. Come hang on with me, bro.
No, you know he. Yeah, he had a point, man.
But it was a cool move, though. I thought it was cool.
Even a broken clock's right twice a day.
I don't have as many problems with the president as you do.
Well, I have a problem with any president. So, you know,
just wait until Trump.
Oh,
did you watch that debate?
No,
it
was on CNN. I don't have cable.
I figured
if I did, I probably would not watch it.
I figured you would try to find it on the computer somewhere.
The only way I would watch it is for show research for this podcast.
Okay.
You know, if we decided, hey, we're going to cover this.
It was really funny.
Oh, dude, I'm sure it was.
There was a few good points being made. What is it? Who is that one fat guy? Chris Christie? No. They were talking about immigration. He had a good point, it kind of got me thinking. I'm like, all right, but everyone was attacking Trump so bad, and Trump had
he's knives out for him. He's one in the top. He's the top dog right now.
Yeah, and I don't even know why he is. Well, no, I know why he is. You had a good point earlier.
Well, he's the anti-establishment, you know, type candidate, which he's not. He's a statist. He's a complete tyrant, you know, whether it was, declaring bankruptcy to defraud his investors or using eminent domain to get his own, whatever, you know, but he's entertaining. You can't take that from him. He's got a lot of personality. He's a New Yorker, so he's kind of got that, you know, no nonsense, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, which is, in a sense, kind of refreshing. The same way it was refreshing with Obama being as loose as he was running against Bush, or even Clinton running against the other Bush, playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall back in the 90s, with Drew and Nick. So
yeah, wait, nice tie-in.
But yeah, he's I don't know. I don't want to call it a breath of fresh air.
He's a master of populist rhetoric. He's a smart businessman, and he's running this campaign like a business. He's tapping into what consumers, i.e. voters, want. You know, and that's what he's talking about.
Every time someone said something, he had to get something back. And it just made me think of that one kid poking someone else. Hey, look at me. Look at me. And everyone else is like, do you see this shit? Do you see this guy? Do you see what he's doing? Can you? And he just wouldn't stop. He just kept making that one, the same face after everyone went after him. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I'm of the opinion that anybody who seeks to be president doesn't deserve it. If you want power, you're not fit to have it. I don't care what you're, you know, if you think I'm doing this for the public good. No, you're not, because you can't know what the public good is. And that's not even a thing that exists, technically.
I feel like at that point, you're just so disconnected from the public in general.
Oh, absolutely.
You're just kind of playing to what polls tell you.
I could see him, you know, running as kind of like a spoiler candidate to kind of shift. Like, I think that's what he's done before. I think he might genuinely be in it to win it this time. But I think before he's just kind of, you know, ran to move the conversation, or, you know, to be a spoiler. Kind of like what John McAfee is doing, which I don't know if you've seen.
I told you I'm not that smart.
No. You're smart. You're just, you know, you just don't pay as much attention to this as most people shouldn't, you know, because it is ultimately, it's a waste of time. But it's fun, you know. It's entertaining. So, and any one of those guys would make a horrible president. In fact, all of them would. I wouldn't vote for a single one.
Even that lady.
If I had to hold my breath and vote for anybody on that stage, it would be Rand Paul. You know, but
was he up there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He got into it with. He got into it with Trump. He got into it, you know, with a few people.
Okay.
But they, you know, the debates are so stacked. You know, they put Trump right in the middle for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know, they give they portion out time or responses to accordingly to, you know.
But they let
it's a dog and pony show, you know. If it had any real chance of changing anything, they wouldn't let it happen.
No, they had all the big dogs in the middle, and then it was clear who they gave extra time to, and then it was very clear who they cut off really quick.
Oh yeah.
But, oh well.
They're the gatekeepers, man.
We are the keymasters. You were saying something earlier that made me think of the Starbucks story, and I think it was you were saying something about how quick we are to, oh no, the Trump being anti-establishment, and then it just made me think of that Starbucks girl refusing the cop. Like, no, oh. You're a cop. F off.
Well, okay, here
that's kind of how I read into
it. The thin green line. All right, here we go. This is, you know, there's this narrative out there that there's a war on cops, and it's completely false, dude. You know, it's a false crisis. It's not happening, okay? I mean, yeah, there may be attitudes that are disfavorable to cops, but that's largely due to a lot of their behaviors, you know? And I think those attitudes or feelings have risen correspondingly with the increased scrutiny or availability of filming them, you know? Mm-hmm. There was a time when not everybody had, you know, you couldn't just carry a video camera around or, you know, or just upload stuff to the internet at the click of a button, you know? So a lot of the stuff just flew under the radar. And now more and more, you know, everybody literally has a computer with a camera on it in their pocket, which is capable of recording and uploading anything at any time to the internet for the most part, you know, if you're in a major city or whatnot. So more and more of the stuff is coming to light, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, statistically, if you look at it, this year is on par to be one of the lowest years for police fatalities due to, murder or, you know, assault, whatnot. So this whole war narrative that there's this war on cops is a complete nonsense. And,
right.
Like I said, I'm not going to say there's not some negative attitudes toward them, and maybe that the barista. I mean, the barista.
I can't call anyone at Starbucks a barista.
Barista.
No, a barista.
Do it. Roll the yard. Do it for me.
A barista is something of an art form. Love making it. Coffee. It's a skill. It's a talent. Starbucks people push a button. They're not baristas.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna take that. I'm
sorry.
I don't go to Starbucks. Very often. But
no. So
the irony is that she was doing exactly what law enforcement officers claim to be doing every day. She was just upholding. She was just following orders, you know.
Now
her corporate policy, or at least the policy at her restaurant, or whatever Starbucks, was that only paying customers use the bathroom. That's the policy because, from what I read, it's attached to a Macy's in downtown Philly, which the bathrooms are like on the third floor. You know, I guess it sounds like the Starbucks is on the ground level, kind of attached to the Macy's. And there's also you can also enter from the street. So they're getting hit from two, you know, who's going to take the elevator three floors up,
you know,
if you're a Macy's. So that was their policy, was only paying customers, you know? And she was just enforcing that policy. She was holding that thin green line, man. Because that's what, how many times have you gotten, you know, maybe not you personally, but just in general, how many times have you got ticketed? Nope, I don't make the laws. I just enforce them. You know, you're getting rid of a ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit or not having a seatbelt or whatnot. You know, I don't make the laws, honey. I just enforce them. You know, so that's all she was doing. She was just enforcing that policy.
Maybe. Yeah, I still see there needs to be, got to be a little bit of wiggle room. The cop doesn't have an office. He's got the, what, he's got to go way back to the station? No, give him a little slack.
No, and I'm not, that's what I'm saying is that, and there, there are law enforcement officers that will kind of give you that wiggle room. Okay, I'm not saying everyone's a by the book, blue flame of justice guy, you know, shooting out their posterior, but you know, that's the same defense. That was the Nuremberg defense. We were just following orders, you know.
Yeah.
I don't write the law. I just enforce it.
You shouldn't have to be such a C-bomb about it, though.
Well, how do you know? How do you know that even went down that way? I mean, all we have is as a face. How do we even know that guy's a cop?
Yeah, how do we not have a video of it?
Because he wasn't wearing a body camera or a data collector.
That's why everyone needs GoPros.
You know, but how do we know it went down like that, or this guy was even a cop? Well, there's, you know what I mean. All we have is this guy's word. You know.
Didn't it say that he was dressed in his blues? Or his,
I'm just saying, you know, it was his word on a Facebook post that's what happened. And it may have very well happened like that. I'm not saying it didn't, but, you know, and I'm not saying she was right to be, you know. I mean, I have friends and family who are law enforcement men, and I love them, you know. And some of the things that I feel about the way policing is carried out in this country, it's not necessarily about individual officers. It's about the institution as a whole and the, you know, the lawmakers and administrators that are in charge of them that kind of hand this stuff down that they're forced to do, you know. And some of them don't do it or don't like it, and some of them will do whatever, you know, they'll follow anything, you know, to the letter. But, you know, she could, I've been on ride alongs with my friends and family, and yeah, you know, they're in a car, they're driving around, they don't have a bathroom in there, obviously. You know, so for her to have bent the rules and let him go, you know, not a big deal. She probably should have, but technically, she was just following her orders, man. She was following the corporate policy.
All right.
I think they have that policy because what I heard, a lot of transient people will come in there, you know, and basically set up shop or whatever. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, the guy's a cop. You know what I mean? He's obviously not a hobo. You know, he's not going to go in there and, you know, bathe or whatever, you know. Guys need to use the restroom. So absolutely, I think she should have let him go. But at the same time, the guy's being kind of a crybaby about it. You know what I mean? So I can't respect that. You know, it's like, you know, you think just because you have a badge or whatever, the rules don't apply to you, you know. Buy a cup of coffee, man. And then you can go.
I thought about that too.
You know, or what? I mean,
he said she was. I mean, from
granted, at the very worst,
from
what
he was typing. So from his opinion, he said he was walking out as the door was closing. The girl's still running her mouth.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, she
it.
Just handled it the wrong way, which makes her seem like the a-hole.
Well, no, she's low. It sounds like it was a low class thing. Absolutely. But, I'm not defending her actions per se. I'm just saying in theory or how.
But if it's a rule, then yeah, I get that it's a rule, but what a D-bag.
Just following orders, man. Just he's just holding that thin green line, you know.
Everyone's so quick to be a jerk to cops now, though. Like,
I don't know. I
don't know. The only videos you're seeing on the internet are videos of police officers abusing their power. I mean, I don't know. In my head, I've never had a bad experience with a cop. I'm, you know, in my head,
it's because you're half white.
It's because I look white enough, man. I haven't gotten 1070 yet.
Yeah, you haven't got 1070. They haven't asked for your papers yet, right?
like my registration officer?
Yeah. No. Papers. No, paper.
Papeles. What is that? That sounded so Mexican. What'd you say, bro?
Yeah, ties back into that race thing we were talking about, you know.
Love being Mexican. Sure,
your name's not Mohammed.
No, I love being Mexican.
Is that an alarm clock?
I get to walk both sides of that line.
No, but like I said, man, it's. I think a lot of it is because more and more people are paying attention to it, you know. And there are. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not. There's no absolutes here. I'm not every cop's bad, you know. I think what they're tasked to do is horrible. You know, they're essentially revenue collectors for the state. You know, they're out there to get money for the state through fines, tickets, whatever, what have you. You know what I mean?
Maybe so, but they serve a purpose.
Okay, but the problem is that they have a monopoly on force. You know what I mean? Anytime you have a monopoly on force anytime you have a monopoly, you're going to have corruption. You're going to have, you know, abuse, you know. So that's might be a whole nother thing to go into, but that's what I'm talking about. So it's not individual cops, because a lot of them are great people. A lot of them, like I said, are my friends, my family. I have a lot of respect because they go into some really ugly stuff, dude. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Family disputes and some of the stuff they've seen, I can only imagine.
They go into scenarios they really don't know.
But they signed up for it, you know, and they got to expect that. You know what I mean? They've heard the stories. They kind of know. I'm not saying it makes it easier, but that's essentially what they're doing.
You say the revenue collectors, though. Why don't you just paint inside the lines?
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, victimless crimes, you know. There's no victim, there's no crime. So, you know, the fact that I'm not wearing a seatbelt, I shouldn't, there's no crime there, you know, but they'll pull you over and write you a ticket, you know, stuff. I mean, little stuff like that, like in states where they have the hand-free laws, you know, you can't use a phone while you're driving or whatever. Well, that's actually, a lot of those laws have the opposite effect. You know, they actually, people will try to hide their phone more so they're looking down, whereas, you know, before they might have kind of held it up and, you know, multitasked back and forth between the road, which I'm not saying is great. I don't do that. I don't advocate it, but now they're trying to hide it, you know, and that same thing with seatbelt laws. When they passed all these seatbelt laws, the beneficial effect was actually almost, it could be negligible because when people feel safer, oh, I got this seatbelt on, they'll drive more aggressively or care, you know. Whereas before, if you're just driving around with no seatbelt, you might be a little more cautious or you know what I'm saying?
I feel like if you're driving without a seatbelt, you don't give an F and you're probably just going to...
I'm just saying in general, you know, a rational person. I'm not talking about, you know...
A rational person would wear a seatbelt.
Well, if they so chose, but if they don't, they shouldn't be, you know, charged a fine or you know. So I'm talking about victimless crimes. I'm not talking about theft, murder, assault, rape. I'm talking about, you know,
it's been a number of years since when I got my driver's license originally, but is there anything that you sign? I don't know if you would know. Is there anything you sign upon getting your license saying that you, you know, I'll obey the rules of the road kind of thing?
Oh, sure. It's a privilege. I'm sure you do.
Because I don't know why I'm chalking it up to the NFL with Marshawn Lynch refusing to do press conferences. Be like, bro, you signed up for this. Yeah. This is your job. You signed up for it.
Violation of contract.
You got a driver's license. That's your thing. You said you're going to obey the rules. Disagree or with it, if you will. But yeah, if you signed up, you say you agree to it, and if you don't do it, then wouldn't they be within their right to pull you over for a victimless crime?
No, I'm not saying there shouldn't be any constraints on operating a vehicle. You know, I'm not saying.
I'm just trying to prove you're wrong. But,
you know, I'm not saying that I don't have to stop for stop signs. You know what I mean? I don't have to, you know, stop at crosswalks or you know. But I'm saying if as an adult, if I choose not to wear a seatbelt, that's my choice.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not hurting anybody else. If I run a stop sign and, you know, bash somebody's car up or hit it, you know, God forbid, hit a somebody crossing or something, yeah, then I've committed a crime because I've damaged somebody's property or injured them physically. But me just driving around without a seatbelt, that there's no victim there.
Okay.
You know, that's just a choice that I've made as a free person, as an, you know what I mean?
And, yeah. And
it's not the state's job or agents of the state's job to come in and punish me for making that choice.
Okay.
You know, or generate revenue from it. It's just, you know, it's just a way for them to feed the beast,
right,
to generate that income stream. And that's, unfortunately, that's what the majority of quote unquote crimes, misdemeanors, felonies are. It's just, they're victimless crimes.
Right. I had this old teacher in high school, never wore a seatbelt. He said he was in a car accident as a kid and didn't wear his seatbelt. And the fact he didn't wear his belt saved his life.
Yeah, it's possible.
Very small scenario, I would imagine. More times than not, seatbelt's going to save your life. But for some reason, he was the exception. Never wore one since. And I'm pretty sure he's probably got a number of tickets, and he's probably pissed about every one of those.
Yeah, well, you know, the state needs its money, so he's... You know.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. I never thought about it as far as, you know, they have a monopoly
on force or...
Yeah, force. Yeah,
I mean, they are legally allowed to either detain you or kidnap you, assault or potentially kill you for, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And anytime there's no, you know what I mean? That's what the market, when there's competition, you can kind of choose, pick and choose between better choices or better actors, you know. But if there's a monopoly, you know, then you have no choice. You just have this, and that leads to abuse, corruption, the types of things that we're seeing now perpetrated by the state.
Right.
And that's what I talk about when, you know, when I talk about law enforcement or what, you know, they're putting the, you know, they're making the choice to enforce all these basically criminal or idiotic laws that have no right to even exist. And, you know, they're claiming that they're victims of persecution now. And it's just, it's not true. You know, I think there's this article or a study that came out and said the most dangerous jobs in America, and being a police officer was like not even in the top 10. I think it was like, you know, down 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's got to be a numbers game, though.
You know, like the most dangerous jobs in America are like logging,
oil riggers.
Yeah, yeah, fishermen, you know, crabbers, I'm sure, you know, linemen. Perhaps. I don't know. Which it shouldn't be, but...
You never know. Those pimps, man. They lay a heavy hand.
You know, when you force things into the street, it, you know, when you make something illegal, it's gonna attract the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Whether it's drugs or prostitution or anything else, so...
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people just have a negative knee-jerk reaction to law enforcement. I don't see it.
I see the opposite, because I guess it's your perspective. I see nothing but almost idolatry or worship, you know, with that thing, the thin blue line. I see the exact opposite, you know.
What do you mean?
They're
like opposite of me?
I see the opposite of the demonization. Yeah, that's happening a little bit. And you could, you know, there might be multiple reasons for that. It might be, like I said, the fact that things that they're doing wrong, like shooting a guy in the back as he's running away.
Yeah, that's crappy.
You know, and then trying to plant evidence on, you know, when he's laying on the ground. I mean, they pulled him over for like a traffic infraction or something, and he had a warrant probably for drugs or something. You know, as he's running away, he got shot 8 times in the back. So.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's probably a time where that would have not been reported, or it would have been reported a different way, but there would happen to be somebody there with a video camera
right. That
caught it. And there, you know, and I also think it kind of serves the interest of the state to jimmy up or jerry up this war where, you know, these cops are under assault, so we need more and more federal control over state and local municipal police departments. You know what I mean? It's such a problem. We need the government, you know, to step in and you know, that's what you see that with the militarization of it, the federalization of local and state police. So I think it's kind of, you know, it's either a false crisis that they're taking advantage of, or they're intentionally ginning it up to, you know, make it better for their own ends.
Yeah, I look at law enforcement as very much an individual, an individual kind of bunch. You know, there's certainly the crappy ones out there, but like you said, there's a lot of good ones out there. I just try not to let the really crappy ones kind of taint my view of them as a whole. I mean, the majority of them, I feel like, do a good job. They, unfortunately, you know, they can't really soften up too much. They, you know, they can't be these cotton ball marshmallow powder puffs that, you know, that we're happy to see. They kind of have to keep this perception of power. Maybe not power. I don't know. I don't know if power is the right word, but
no, well, that's what they do.
Everyone looks at them as just these really crappy figures right now, and they can't soften up. They can't let up, because then people think they're going to run on them.
No. Let's look at it this way. This is the only model, you know, of government service where they are actively out patrolling to find things that are wrong. You know, you don't see the fire department just driving around in a fire truck, you know, looking for things to do, or,
sure.
But you know, they're at their fire station, you know, they're there, they're, you know, cleaning the trucks or whatever, making sandwiches. They're not out driving around. looking for you know, oh, that guy didn't use his blinker. Better, you know, better light him up. Get some revenue for the state.
I should get pulled over by a fire truck.
Yeah. You know you're pulling over him. So is it running out the road, right? Or an MRAP. Now, you know, maybe that's why the police got the MRAPs. They can just, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But that's a whole different model, you know. You don't see that with the police. The police are out actively, like, just looking for the smallest infraction, you know, as a reason to pull you over or find, you know what I mean?
And
that's not a good model of policing, in my opinion. That doesn't foster, it fosters resentment or like you said, you mentioned they have to appear powerful. Well, that, you know, that fosters resentment, that fosters distrust, that fosters fear. You know, if you really want to be part of the community, you know, those aren't the feelings you want to promote or engender in the people you're trying to quote unquote protect and serve. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it kind of tells you the fact that that's what's happening, what the real goal is there. And that's to maintain control and to generate revenue for state, local, federal governments, what have you, to feed, you know, that's what. They keep making every day more and more laws. You know, there's a very good study or book out that says almost every American citizen commits 3 felonies a day. Yeah, because there's literally there's so many laws on the books that nobody could ever hope to know or keep up with that the average American commits 3 felonies a day, just going through, you know, the daily routine, dude, that, you know, the daily grind, in and out, 3 felonies a day, man. So you're a felon, I'm a felon. My kids might be felons. I, you know, who knows? Grandma, you know, good little grandma down the street, you know, watering her garden. Nope, she's a felon.
Well, yeah, but
no, I'm dead serious. No, and then it's like, at what point, you know, they have complete discretion to prosecute any law that they want to, you know what I mean? So where's the, you know, Tacitus said the more corrupt the nation, the more numerous the laws, you know, or something, you know, paraphrasing it. And that's exactly what you have here, you know. And the only people that get a pass for ignorance or not knowing the law are the police. The Supreme Court ruled that you can be ignorant of the law and still be found guilty, but the police cannot. So they pull you over and they somehow violate a law or your rights, but they say they didn't know. They can still get they're still not guilty of it. But
oh, see, that's crappy. That's stupid.
That's the world. That's what's going on right now. That's what I talk about with the monopoly of force, the monopoly of violence, and it's not. I'm not attacking individual officers because a lot of them get into it for the right reasons, or you know, the heart's in the right place. But it's the model. It's from top down. It's corrupt.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So good
that
times,
sucks.
Man. We're talking about light, topical subjects here today.
Yeah, I'm glad I came over.
They're the highwaymen, dude. They are raw. You know, they're there to extort money from you, especially with civil forfeiture laws. You know.
Yeah, screw that.
You get pulled over. What do you got $10,000 in cash for? Well, I'm going to go buy a car. Well, we think you're going to buy drugs, so we're going to take this cash. And then you have to prove, you know, that you're not going to buy drugs. And good luck doing that, right?
Yeah, if I get pulled over with that kind of money, they think I'm doing coke. Can't do that.
Absolutely. That. So, yeah, there you go, man. The thin green line. It's got to be held.
I think ruined my opinion of police officers.
I really want
now.
A coffee right now. That's not my goal, man. My goal is to, you know, is to change, you know, just to be out there and change the whole way people look at the way society is structured or
You're just making me want to fight with police now. Like if I ever come across a DUI checkpoint, drinking or not, I'll pick that fight.
Well, you have to do it smart. So
well, I will.
I don't recommend it.
I'll write a little text on my phone and put it up against the window.
Well, that's the best thing you can do, man, is just know your rights and you know, exercise them politely. You know, I always, you know, don't be disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, but don't
poke the bear.
Yeah, don't poke the bear. I mean, at the end of the day, they do have the ability to and the power to detain you and imprison you, kidnap you, whatnot. You know, be respectful, but this nothing's going to change until we, or you know, people as individuals start recognizing their rights and standing up for them. You know, and I'm not saying go out there and do anything crazy. You know,
no,
like. Run a DUI checkpoint. Yeah. The best, no. Like a lot of people do is great is, which I think DUIs are all another victimless crime also until you know,
sorry, what
I said, DUIs are another victimless crime, you know, or driving under the influence is a victimless crime until you hurt somebody or cause damage. But
the amount of risk you're putting on everyone else, not even just yourself.
It doesn't justify the, you know,
I don't agree with Arizona's zero tolerance rule, but at least give us the 0.08.
There was a time back where, in the day, where if you got pulled over, and you know, police thought you'd had too much to drink, they'd give you a ride home. You know, they'd pull your car over and they'll give you a ride home. Not anymore. You know what I mean? Now it's zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance is crap.
And why do you think? And I'm not saying that. This isn't an issue. I'm just saying, is this the best way to go around solving it? You know what I mean? And I think the market's kind of stepping up to provide more solutions like that with like Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
And so that's great. And at the end of the day, I am about self-accountability. So if you make a bad choice and you do something foolish, then yeah, you're ultimately accountable for it. But having checkpoints where you like literally check everybody, you know, there's no reasonable suspicion, you know?
No, that's
I understand if the cop's driving along and the guy, if you're weaving all over the road, okay, well, I have reasonable suspicion that this guy is under the influence, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure he's not a danger to other people. But not just blanket checkpoints where you're like, okay, well, we're going to set up a roadblock and everyone has to go through. And
yeah, every freaking year, come back from tubing down the river.
Yeah.
There's always a stop and drunk or not, yeah, they stop you. Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
That's what I'm against, is that kind of like blanket checkpoint or whatnot. And there's ways around it. A lot of people are now going out and finding good ways to circumvent, holding up signs saying checkpoint ahead, you know, turn here. And, you know, and you do have rights. Even if you go through a checkpoint, you don't have to answer questions. I mean, you should check with the laws in your state, obviously. But
yeah,
it's things like that where, you know, you'd be respectful, but you assert your rights.
Yeah, don't be an a-hole, but which that kind of goes out to... Everyone's kind of responsible to know their rights. You know, don't be argumentative just for the sake of it because you know. No, talk to them, have a smart conversation about it through your window, and yeah, and just let the cop, you know that what they're doing isn't right, and you know, just kind of disprove them a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's tricky. So, but it can be done if you're so inclined. And
gotta go and do some reading.
It helps.
Maybe I can just find a book on tape. That sounds easier.
Or just listen to our podcast. Because this is in no way any kind of like sound legal advice. Just, you know, two dudes talking.
That should be your disclaimer in the beginning. Listen, don't.
Yeah. Take this with a grain of salt and a couple beers. Just not if you're going to drive after.
Yeah, just don't do it while driving. We frown upon that.
So we're not just here to, you know, talk about all the doom and gloom. You know, we want to get positive, and you know, that's a great thing. That's what we're all about here.
Yeah, we need more of it, like right now.
So, what are you looking forward to this fall, Drew? What's going on?
This fall, I'm looking forward to the God willing, the Detroit Lions ending 8-8, optimistically. Yeesh. That's what I'm looking forward to. Fall's the best time of the year, man. Football starts. Baseball's getting like really good now. People are starting to make that playoff push. Basketball's about to start. So sport-wise, it's awesome. The weather's great. We can start sleeping with the windows open at night. Love sleeping with the windows open.
So do the burglars. And by that, I mean the police.
I thought you were going to say the Mexicans.
So it gives them an easier way to get into your room.
Oh, good
for their no-knock raid.
Good thing I'm upstairs.
Yeah. But yeah,
I love the winter, man. It's just the change of seasons. It's nice.
It's so pronounced here in the valley. You know, this is, I think, growing up here with the heat and everybody's just so ready, you know, for it to break. And yeah, you know, it sounds funny to maybe people who actually live in places where there are seasons, but when you start seeing highs in the 90s,
what,
you know, you start getting a little.
The high of 88 today? Holy crap.
I can actually take my kids outside in the morning.
Yeah. I can walk my dog without burning their feet. Yeah. Great.
Absolutely. So it's kind of reverse. I always think of it as reverse winter or reverse hibernation. You know, like a lot of places, you know, they can't go outside in the winter except to shovel the walk or you know what I mean? It's an ordeal. You know, you got to bundle up. You got to have your galoshes or your snow boots. So go start the car 20 minutes ahead or, you know, so it can warm up, keep the battery charger on or whatnot.
I got my sister living up in Buffalo. Every year I hear from it, it just sounds miserable. Like there's that whole, they were snowed in for like a few weeks or something last year, that really big storm they had. And it sounds terrible. I'm looking forward to the change of weather here because it's just always, it's the best time of year, the weather and then the sports. And then you have all the best holidays coming up with Halloween and Thanksgiving. And my birthday is always around Thanksgiving.
Favorite time so of I year.
Get a birthday and then Christmas. I'm still a kid around Christmas. I love it.
Absolutely. I like how you worked your birthday into being one of the holidays.
Well, it's a pretty big deal.
It's a big day, man. We'll be sure to celebrate it here.
And then especially when you turn old and, you know, when you're of age over the age of 21, a very acceptable birthday present is always beer. Like a good case of beer,
you
get someone a bottle of whiskey or scotch. Those are better presents than gift cards.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I would rather get like a good bottle of whiskey that costs like $30, $40 than like a $50 gift card.
Podcasting equipment's always good too, though.
Podcasting equipment's good.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's when you actually start feeling human again.
Yeah.
But then you got to deal with the snowbirds, you know.
Then you deal with the snowbirds.
I don't know how many people deal with, you know, maybe they deal with, I guess the opposite of that would be summer tourists, you know, like, you know, going to the nicer places.
Yeah.
But here we get the snowbirds, you know, the weather cools down. It's amazing outside. It's 70 degrees in December. But dude, you're surrounded by
it's all old people. Summer tourists
are cool. The Walking Dead.
You gotta figure summer tourists are okay. I visited Canada, Niagara Falls, and that whole area in the summer, and it's gorgeous out there. But you have tourists of all ages. Snowbirds are limited to like 65 and dead.
65 to 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah, I mean, they're a necessary evil for our business, our actual job, because I'm not getting paid enough to podcast.
It does give a nice little revenue boost to the city, to the area.
It does. It's scary as hell driving, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hate driving by them.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying. They don't know where they're going.
But that would be like us driving in the snow, probably.
Probably. Yeah. You know? I don't know how to drive in the snow. You know, I'm not going to do it.
I've driven a few times, you know, because that's one thing I love about Arizona is you literally can get every type of climate on Earth almost in one state, dude. You know, you can get 9,000 plus feet, you know, peaks, or, I mean, just the hottest. It was short of Death Valley or like sub-Saharan Africa, you know, the hottest desert you could ever want, and everything, almost everything in between. But, driving to snow is a whole nother ball game.
I can't do it. I did it once and I freaked out. Like my tires came out from under me a little bit, skidded, just not even a lot, just a little bit, and I was just white knuckling. I didn't handle it well.
That's okay.
Thankfully, the girl in the passenger seat didn't realize the look of panic. Oh yeah, I did it bad.
So yeah, that's good, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What is your favorite? What's a better holiday for you? Halloween or Christmas? You said you're like a kid at Christmas, but
it's totally Christmas.
Totally Christmas.
It's my family. Family's a tight knit bunch. I don't know if it's the Mexican part of us or what, but everyone makes time There's always that one house on Christmas Eve that we go to, and you get the whole bunch of us together, and everyone gives their gifts, and I don't even care about the gifts. I'm so happy that I'm well adjusted enough that I care nothing of gifts.
Yeah.
Give me a picture frame for all I care. Give me nothing. High five. Cool. I just love seeing the family get together. I know the sister from Buffalo, I feel bad for her because they looked at plane tickets. The cheapest she found was like $5.30 a piece.
Ouch.
Yeah. And so they're going to make the flight, so I get to see my sister. And nice. It's family coming to town, man. It's never lost on me.
Nice.
I love it. But Christmas is pretty close to Thanksgiving, though, because it's just like family with food.
Thanksgiving is like, eh. I do like it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just.
It's not one of those up there ones for
you?
It's
not up there, man. It's Halloween and Christmas. Christmas, yeah, like me. Totally Christmas guy. But, dude, I love Halloween, man. It's so cool.
Halloween's too cute now.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's because all my friends have kids and they're all doing cutesy little things. Yeah. And that's why I love going to the haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
As grotesque as they get. Love it.
Do we need to go? Because I can rarely even get my wife to watch a scary movie with me, let alone go to like a haunted house.
Let's go to a haunted house.
I think I get like one scary movie a year with her. Like, it's Halloween. Let's watch the annual scary movie, you know? And, you know, I love zombies, obviously. It's in the title, you know? So how am I going to, you know, how am I going to work that in? You know, behind on my movie, on my cool zombie flicks
we'll hit up a haunted house.
Let's do it.
It takes it out of it a little bit that, you know, they can't touch you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that reminds me. I don't know what it's called, but I saw last Halloween, I saw an article. I think it was somewhere near San Diego or in California. And I don't even know how you do this out there with all the regulatory burden that state has. But it was like this insane haunted house where you pretty much have to sign like a death waiver. Maybe you have to do that on all of them now. I don't know. But they're literally, you sign a waiver and they're pretty much literally allowed to do almost anything to you short of probably, you know, physically.
Like harm?
Like, lock you in cages, pour, you know, whatever down your throat. I mean, it's really hardcore, and I need to find the link.
Yeah, find that.
I mean, it's not even cool, dude. It's actually like really sadistic, like
you got
hardcore.
You got my
stuff.
Attention.
And people go to do it. You know what I mean? It's insane, man.
Run around with my pants down my ankles. Do your worst. Yeah. Gross. Yeah, I would do that. No, and even better.
That's a normal weekend for you, isn't it?
I call that Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
And even better. I like incorporating alcohol in everything I do. So when we go, we'll bring a little bottle, we'll take some pulls in the parking lot, and then go in.
Nice.
I'm okay with that.
As long as there's not a DUI checkpoint on the way home.
Yeah.
We should be good.
As long as there's that, yeah.
Well, we'll malinger around enough to, you know, let the effects wear off.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like adding alcohol to most any event makes it better.
Including podcasting. I know that's like the unwritten rule. You're not supposed to drink when you podcast, but.
Really? Who made that rule?
I don't know.
What?
It's no one I want to podcast with. And I was like, you know what? I'm not listening to that rule.
My best show.
I make my own rules.
Yeah, it's your show. Do
that's
it.
Right.
There was last year in August, I think it was, we got a hotel room with the Mesa, near the Mesa Amphitheater for the Pennywise, Bad Religion, and Offspring show. All good 90s bands.
Yeah, I remember that. And I wanted to go, but I couldn't make it.
Yeah, that's right. And if people go back and listen to it, you hear in the first episode, totally sober. First band is up. We're like, hey, guys, Too Legit with Drew and Nick. I'm Drew. I'm Nick. We're watching Pennywise. The second show, it's a little more louder.
Yeah.
And by the time the Offspring comes on, it's, hey, they're starting. This is Too Legit with Drew and Nick. I'm Drew. And it's just slurring. It's a mess.
I'm Drew. Who are you?
yeah, but I guess it made for a bad show, but I had a good time. That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I got a little animated there.
That's all right. No one was harmed.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for having me over, man.
Yeah, man. I think we should wrap it up. It was a great time, brother. I want to thank you again for, you know, like I said, giving me a little taste of the podcast and that really made me want more. It really gave me that kind of, I kind of saw not how easy it was, but, you know, that it could be done, because I had been listening to podcasts for a long time, especially, you know, talking about topics I care about, liberty or, you know, funny things, you know, listening to yours, but really getting in and doing it, man, like lit that fire. And I owe a lot of it. I owe it to you, brother.
All right, get out of here.
So to have you on, really cool, man. And
glad I inspired.
Hopefully, we talked about a lot of fun stuff, a lot of some serious stuff, but you know,
right, I hope there was some fun stuff in there. God, it was a lot of doom and gloom.
Nah, we make it fun, man. We make it fun.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I.
I think sometimes with our schedule, because we work so early, you know, it can be, you know, you start hitting that mid afternoon slump.
Oh yeah,
you know, and you're like, oh, man, a little tired, and but
it's about 3:30. I need to start thinking about making dinner and.
Yeah, you know, old guys.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I gave you some sparks of creativity to get it done. It's easy. Yeah. You buy a mixer, buy a microphone, download a recording program, bam, you're podcasting.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to do is just show that, like, literally anybody can do it if I'm doing it.
Yeah, just the...
Anybody.
I encourage someone, just make sure it's something you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
It's pretty hard to pick a topic that you can stick to, or hey, even if you're lucky enough that you don't even have to have a topic, you can make a podcast off your own personality and off your own guests or whatever, like the Bill Burr podcast, the morning podcast, love it. And it's just him, he just riffs, talks about whatever he wants, and he's able to make that show work. Good for him. I couldn't do that. But yeah, just
find a niche, find something you're passionate about, and make it yours, man.
Yeah, do something you like.
So don't forget, Too Legit with Drew and Nick, the 90s never sounded so good.
Yeah.
Find it.
Thanks for coming up with that tagline, by the way. It's on my business card.
I love it, man.
Too Legit with Drew Nick. It's the number two when you do it. Too Legit, Drew Nick. We're on Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. We have a website. It's a really bad looking website, so really just go through iTunes or Stitcher to listen to us.
Need to get on that.
I need it. I'm getting on my. The roommate.
I do too. Mine's in its infancy.
Yeah, my roommate's a freaking programmer. Like, there's no reason he can't do it. And I know he can do it in, like, 10 minutes, too, and he just doesn't. I should raise his rent.
Should.
Just be like
extortion. Always a good tactic.
Yeah, work for the police. I'll do it.
I love that I got you. I didn't even... I said... Home run. Anyway.
Well, man. Well, thanks for having
me. Yeah, brother. Thanks again, everybody. Keep listening, and stay free.
Keep listening to the Zombies Government U podcast.
That's right. And Too Legit, we out.
Gross. That would horrify me if I took a girl out.
You haven't lived till you kissed a chick with a dip.
Ugh. Want to get some coffee? Yeah, 1 second. Let me take this out.
Hold on.
Ugh. Let me drop you off back at the trailer. I should have known.
Yeah. And if, you know, you only want to go with the ones that swallow, you know, the spit. Then that's how you know they're hardcore.
That's how you know they're a keeper. No,
you're going to get throat and stomach cancer.
Yes.
It's hot.
Let's sign you up for health insurance.
Obamacare. That's what it's for. Chewing chicks. Pour me a tasty beverage here. I don't think there's any yawning on this podcast.
Try it, man.
Didn't you get a nap? You need some coffee?
You've seen me at work in the morning. It takes me like an hour to get warmed up.
Yeah, it takes me at least three. So
you're the one operating machinery.
It's crazy.
I can't believe they trust you with that.
Yeah, they haven't figured it out yet, so why ruin a good thing?
Suckers.
I'm just going to, like, totally rearrange everything you said.
Well, the other day I went.
Yeah, totally different cadences and clipping and, oh, my God. Ready?
Yep.
Let's do this.